What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Born to Thrive. I'll be your host, Alex, or the Alex Allen on Instagram and TikTok. And this is my podcast where I help you embrace your power and live the life you're meant to live. All right, let's get to it. Here, especially in the US, but just in general, we do not have a weight loss problem. We have a weight regain problem. And this is such an important conversation. Because so many people diet, so many people try to lose weight, change their bodies, and find themselves back where they started. And this can be a very touchy subject, especially because weight loss in general tends to be one, which is kind of frustrating because like people have those goals, that's fine. But also it can be frustrating because so often it is correlated to so many negative emotions and feelings, which are emotions, or just a lot of negative connotation because in general, diets are so popularized and they're so restrictive and they're so harmful. And that's what leads people to believe that weight loss itself inherently is a bad thing. Not always. Again, there's other factors in there, but this is such an important conversation because I think this is something that you can actually correlate to so many parts of your life, not just weight loss, not just dieting, not just anything like that, because it's so related to a fixed first growth mindset, which behavior change to me is so fascinating because I am somebody who I have a savior complex. It's funny because I think my Enneagram's a three. What is it? My Myers-Briggs. I'm an ENFJ, which is like the hero of, or the protagonist. And I want to like save everyone. And that's been this great thing because it's led me to obviously start a team and post on social media and do all these things to try to like save everybody. Because I'm like, why does anybody want to live in this like body that they don't feel comfortable with? Why do they want to live in this way that doesn't make them feel great? Why do they want to not pursue everything that they've ever dreamed of? And one of the greatest things that I've learned from like the science behind behavior change is that not everyone actually wants to change or is ready to change is how I should actually say it. Because there's, I don't know if you've heard of Carol Dweck, but she's kind of like the genius behind growth first fixed mindset. And she does a really great job of basically explaining the difference between people who are fixed and very comfortable with where they are and the people who are ready to truly grow and embrace change. And this can be, you can have a growth mindset. I've done a lot of episodes on it before, so definitely go back and listen to those. But you can want to change in certain areas of your life, but then not actually be ready to change in others. So you can have a growth mindset in certain aspects, like when it comes to maybe fitness, nutrition, business, having kids, a family, anything like that, and then have a fixed mindset in a different one of those areas. So it is possible to have aspects from each one. And I think it's really important to recognize that. And I actually think that this dilemma with the dieting industry kind of feeds on developing a deeper level of a fixed mindset. There's no research to support this. It's just my purely perspective when it comes to it because of my own personal experiences and obviously seeing so many clients and just meeting so many people who have gone through so many diets. And what's interesting is diets as a whole are basically everything against behavior change. It is like the antithesis of behavior change and the actual theories and research that support people making long-term sustainable change because they all basically prey on the all or nothing mindset. They really feed into it by the like restrictive food groups, time restriction, basically saying that like you're not allowed to have certain things. Like that is all or nothing because you are now basically looking at everything as I can only eat these things. I can only eat in this time. And those aren't things that most people would ever actually see themselves doing long term, and yet they still feed into it. And changing behaviors, like truly being able to change your behaviors and make long-term sustainable change is a slow and methodical process, which is so unsexy, which is why this doesn't get the recognition that it deserves, because so many people want the quick fixes. They want the rigid rules because they're easier to follow. But then we end up blaming ourselves for not seeing the success that we think we deserve but we're then still doing the exact same things over and over again, expecting a different change. It's kind of the idea that, like, if you think about it, if you're trying another fad diet, if you've maybe tried keto, I'm a beautiful example of this because this is exactly what I did. And I just didn't know any better, which isn't an excuse. It's just a fact. I didn't know any better. I was trying my best. And I think that we now have so much more information. Hopefully if you're listening to this podcast, you don't fall for those things anymore. But it's like, I tried pretty much most diets, not all of them, but I tried paleo. I was vegan for a while. I did low carb. I did low fat. Like, I've tried so many things. And the one consistent thing with each of those diets is they all restrict in some way. Because like paleo, you're only allowed to quote eat like clean foods, but they kind of basically do it as like whole nutrient dense foods. And they give you a list of things that you're not allowed to have while doing paleo. Vegan, you can't have meat. And like low carb, you're eating like a very restricted amount. So they all have the same roughly rigid rules. And I think that this is so important to recognize because the one consistent thing that people who are actually successful with their weight loss, and this is like the 5 percenters, like everyone kind of goes back to that study of like the 95% of people gain the weight back. That is the most common thing that people say. And everyone kind of looks at like the 5 percenters. And there's actually been a lot of research done on the people who lose weight, maintain it, keep it off, all those things, which is, one, the commonality is that they all focus on mostly whole nutrient dense foods, which is very common, but it's not saying they only eat that. But then they also don't demonize foods. Nothing is off limit. Nothing is good or bad. Those are the people who actually maintain their weight loss long term. The other commonality is that people actually view it as a lifestyle change. You'll see it where a lot of these people who maybe do something, because maybe you've seen somebody who does keto and you're like, oh, well, they did it and they've been successful with it and they've maintained it because that is now their lifestyle. And this isn't hating on any specific diet. There's a lot that I don't like and I don't agree with, but that's a whole other conversation. But this is showing the fact that people will be like, well, why did it work for them and not for me? Because they can actually maintain it. That's actually enjoyable to them. It's not some secret. It's not something that like, it's not that they're better than you. It's not that they just want it more than you. It's that they've found the thing that works for them, which is a huge reason why, like on our coaching team, we really encourage people to move their body in ways that sound exciting, that they're actually like enjoy doing. Because again, most programs are so restrictive and there's so many endless cycles of starting over and struggling to maintain the results that they want. Again, because they focus on what you eat, what are you allowed to eat, not how you eat. Because again, like you're asked to eliminate entire food groups, restrict your eating window, do things that you know you can't sustain. And it feeds into an all or nothing mindset, which is exactly why these are the people that we help. Because it's so fueled by willpower and it ultimately sets you up for failure. We as humans, we love the rigidity in our minds because it gives us really fixed rules. So in that way, it's easier for us to basically tell ourselves what we can and can't do. But we actually crave flexibility and process-driven adjustments and a holistic lifestyle approach that doesn't demonize foods. We do. We crave it whether we realize it or not, because that is exactly why we fall off. Because we're so against these rigid rules after a certain period of time, or it's not maintainable. So we just fall off. So I do want to talk about a couple stories of like clients that we've talked about and or we've worked with and some things that we've seen. But before I do want to remind everyone, I need to get better about doing this, but I do want to remind everyone before I get into it, please leave us a 5-star rating and review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, because it obviously does support us. It supports the show. It gets more people to see it. And obviously share this with someone that you feel like can benefit from hearing this. So I'm trying to do better about actually remembering it. I even put a note in. So just like full transparency with that. But wanted to make sure I got that out. This story, I think, is very relevant to so many people because it was me for so long. This isn't the story about me. This is someone I actually spoke to who was interested in coaching, but they applied for coaching and she had been on this journey for close to 10 years. She had been trying to lose weight. She had tried every diet out there and it had been super frustrating. And what was interesting is, as a whole, we typically get people who apply who are a very great fit for our program. I try and do that on purpose. I try to be very intentional with the content that I make because I want it to be clear, like who we help, why we do what we do, and make sure that people who apply are very like relevant to our program, because otherwise, like, we're not going to work with you anyways. We're very particular about that, which is why we have a high success rate. Sometimes people fall through the cracks, but still. And so what's interesting is this person who had applied came across her answers were very sincere, but then when we got on the phone, it was a little off-putting. She seemed very shut down. And again, I love behavior change. I love behaviors in general. I find it very interesting. She was very shut down and she kind of sounded frustrated, and we're on the Zoom call. And usually I'm like, hey, like, it's nice to meet you. It's like, I'm really excited to talk to you. And she was basically like, yeah, my kids are in the other room, so I have to go soon. And I was like, oh, okay, no worries. Like, is this still a good time to talk? She's like, no, it still is. But like, just let's kind of get it like going. And I'm like, okay. And I started asking her what she hoped to achieve by working with a coach. And she said, oh, I want to lose 30 pounds. I was like, okay, totally understandable. And I was like asking her like more questions to better understand like why she wanted to do it. Because the interesting thing is, we don't have to lose weight. No one's making you do anything, which I think is sometimes something that people don't really recognize or don't fully acknowledge, because you don't have to. A lot of times we think we're supposed to, and like, I'm definitely not against people having those goals, but there is a different reason. There's something deeper. And then she opens up about the fact that her mom had just recently passed away about 4 months ago, and her mom had already, it wasn't unexpected. She was very, I don't want to say nonchalant, but she was a little nonchalant about it. She made some jokes and stuff, and I'm like, dark humor, okay. But she had been constantly kind of saying that she didn't want to end up like her mom and her two kids, who were around 8 to 10. Those were the two children's ages. And she was saying that like, she doesn't want to not be there for her grandkids, and she doesn't want to follow that same path. I was like, okay, I get it. And she's like, also, I want to be a good example for my kids. They're already pretty active and I feel like I can't keep up with them, and I'd be a good example. And I'm like, okay, that is a very good reason to want to change. Not that there's like bad reasons necessarily, but it's like, that's a very understandable and strong driver for change. Great. And then when we start talking about it, I'm like, okay, like what are some things that you're like willing to do? And she's like, well, I just don't have time to do this stuff. And I'm like, okay, interesting. As I said in the beginning, there's fixed and growth mindsets. And there's a lot of verbiage that people use when it comes to a fixed mindset, like saying, I don't have time to do this. I can't do this. And I started to kind of like try to pry a little bit more. And I was like, well, are you willing to try something you haven't tried before? Because that's what our program is. That's what people don't realize when they apply, is that our program is not going to get you the sexy dopamine hit all of the time. It's not. We're going to try and get you wins as like soon as we can, but we're going to be doing things that aren't scale related. 99% of the time when people come to us, they have not earned the right to diet, which is exactly why that's what they got to do when they first come, which is so unsexy and so unexciting, because you are no longer getting the dopamine hits of the scale going down every single week. You're not getting those hits of, wow, my pants are already like so much smaller, all these things, because so many people have not earned the right to diet. Because again, we are helping the people who for years have yo-yo dieted, for years have tried to eat as little as possible. And when I tell her, hey, we probably can't try to lose weight when you start, we're just not in a place to do that. I'm always very direct. I'm always very honest, because I don't want false promises. I don't want to work with somebody who's not ready to make that change, who's not ready to try something different. I don't want to, because it's a waste of our time. It's a waste of their time and my time. It is. And that's not being a dick. Like, that's the interesting thing, is for so long, I wanted to appease everybody, which ended up hurting me and hurting my business and hurting other people. Because if you're not ready to change, I'm just going to be like talking to a wall, and you're going to get frustrated, and you're not going to like me when all I'm trying to do is help you. And you're going to think that I'm the problem because you're not getting the results that you want. Again, this goes back to those diets that I was talking about. They give you that excitement. They give you the dopamine hit of like very quick and easy fat loss, but then you gain it all back plus more and you blame yourself because you weren't able to be consistent when it wasn't your fault. This isn't an excuse because again, like it is your fault if you keep doing it. It is. If you're not learning from the mistakes that you made in your past, you're not understanding the patterns that are going on of, oh, when I restrict heavily and I do these things, I end up back where I started. That sucks. I don't want to do that anymore. There are so many people out there who do that. And she was one of them. And I said this to her, everything I'm saying, I said to her, and not like that, obviously, but we had like a very great conversation because ultimately she was like, you know, you're right. I actually don't think I'm like ready for this. Okay. That's fair. We decided not to move forward. I don't want to work with everyone. I don't. That's not me being a dick. Again, it's me wanting people to actually be successful and have people who are ready to make this change. And that was one of the hardest things for me to learn. Because again, I have the savior complex. I want to save everybody. In my head, and what's great is I share my client Tennille all the time because she's like a great example of this, where she had thought for so long that she just couldn't be consistent. It was just her. She's the problem. I'm the problem. It's me. And she thought that. She truly believed it because she had worked with other coaches and she had had so many issues when it came to being consistent with them. And she was like, I always fall off after 2 months. It's just me. And it's funny because she actually, in a similar sense, came with some fixed mindset stuff where she's like, I'm just always like that. And I was like, are you willing to try something different? Yeah. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of feeling tired. I'm tired of not feeling great. Okay, great. Let's try something different. We did. Lo and behold, a year down the line, she's lost close to 30 pounds. She's not restricting herself. She's being super consistent. And what was wild is after the first four months that we were with each other, she was like, why doesn't everybody do this? Why doesn't everyone want to do this? This is wild. And I tell her, think back to when you started. That's not what you were thinking. You weren't thinking, why doesn't everyone want to do this? Because once we see the changes, once we feel the changes, not even just see, because again, everyone does talk about the diet that helped them lose like 50 pounds or whatever. And they get so excited by it. They're like, everyone needs to do it. But then again, a lot of those times, those diets are the heavily restricted, fast, quick fixes that end up losing all the results. That's why everyone at their holidays and stuff talks about this exciting thing. But then you see them a year later and they look exactly the same. That's no hate to them. It's not. Again, we have $1 billion. I think it's significantly like more than a billion at this point, but it's like a multi-billion-dollar industry of the dieting industry that feeds into people's insecurities and people's desires for rigid rules. And again, going back to Tennille, like she realized that that wasn't helpful and it wasn't getting her the results that she wanted. And she was finally ready to change. You have to be willing to do something you've never done before to get the results that you want. You do. And you have to figure out why you want to lose weight that isn't just around this generic number. Because there is a deeper reason. There's always one. Whether or not you realize it, there's always a deeper reason. You want to be able to be there for your kids. You don't want to end up like a parent who maybe passed away from health issues. You don't want to, like, you want to help your anxiety and your depression. There's something deeper, whether you realize it or not. And I always try and help people figure that out because that's such a big foundation of our program is like we get very deep on the why, like very deep. And that's what helps people continue to keep showing up. And at some point you have to figure out what you really want and be willing to commit to that change. It's like the age old saying of like the pain of staying the same has to outweigh the pain of change. It does. And for so many people, they don't get there. That person that I was talking about who had applied for coaching, who we didn't move forward with, she is likely going to get frustrated, feel overwhelmed, get discouraged, and get to a point where she goes on another fad diet and then just continues this vicious cycle. That's not me being a dick again. It's interesting because I always have to almost validate that for myself because I feel very dickish because I'm like, and I told her that. I was like, just so you know, the time's going to pass whether you want it to or not. If you're unwilling to do something different, you're going to keep going down the same cycle. It's just facts. Because your desire to want to lose weight or to change your body isn't going to go away. it's probably still going to be there because it is something that's important to you. It doesn't mean you don't want it bad enough. This is the other interesting thing. People will be like, people just don't want it bad enough. People don't have strong enough desire, like, or whatever, strong enough why. I'd argue that a lot of people have a very strong why. They do. And a lot of people are aware of their why. They know why they want to do it. It's just that they're not willing to do something different. The difference between successful people isn't that they have an easier life. It isn't that they just have things handed to them. Because again, like we see it all the time, and this is where I felt like this could be relevant to so many aspects of life. But people think that people who are most millionaires, here's a great example. Most millionaires, I think it's like 85% are self-made. They're like the first millionaires in their family. And you see people who came from absolutely nothing now have these thriving, successful, incredible businesses. You see the opposite where people have like tons of money and then end up losing all of it. Like they grew up with a lot of money and they end up losing it. They become addicted to things. Like there's so many examples of literally anyone from every facet of life can have the trajectory that you are hoping for. Anyone. The difference isn't whether or not they have it easier than you. The difference with successful people and those who aren't is that the people who are successful commit and stay consistent. That's it. And it's interesting because again, I'm going to wrap this up soon, but it's like, it's interesting because again, I see it so often. I like just saw somebody make this post where they're like, people like being fat is a choice. And I'm like, shut up. It's not that simple. It's not. We are complex human beings. And this, I'm not making excuses for people. I'm not. I'm very blunt, as you can tell from everything that I just said. I'm not making excuses for people. We as a society feed into people's insecurities. And we as a society have normalized diets, trends, a lot of things that go against sustainable long-term behavior change. We've normalized it. It's not sexy. It's not the stuff that usually gets millions and millions of views. It's not the things that everyone hears and they get so excited about. It's so unexciting. It's so undopamine hitting. Because change is super daunting. This is exactly why like people will see people in really toxic relationships, literally like in abusive relationships, or people will again do yo-yo diets. Like they will do all of these things over and over and over again because it is more comfortable in their mind to have the predicted outcome than it is to change and go into the unknown. Like that is a fact. We are wired for safety. That is like a safety mechanism in our brain. We know that this bad thing is going to continue to happen. And so it feels more comfortable and more safe than going out into the unknown and not being sure of how things are going to go. And again, people often have to get to that very low, low to eventually commit to that change. The kicker is odds are even in change or even in staying the same, there are going to be setbacks. There are going to be frustrations. In the change realm, there are going to be urges to return to old patterns. Those things don't just go away. You have it either way. It's like the kind of, I don't love this quote, but like we're going to go with it, where it's like, choose your hard. But it is true, actually. You know, I actually kind of like it. I'm going to change my mind right here. There we go. Growth mindset. Change my mind. Not really, but it's like not really a growth mindset, but it's like, choose your hard. You can either choose momentary ease and momentary comfort and long-term dissatisfaction and discomfort, or you can choose discomfort in the moment. Again, working out is hard. Sitting on the couch, very easy. But long-term, you're going to feel more energized. You're going to feel more focused. You're going to feel better going and working out. It's so frustrating that I feel like I always have to like give the caveats. Like, I'm not saying never sit on your couch. Like, again, we are all or nothing mentality humans who like they hear something and they just want to roll with it. I'm saying that more often we do need to put ourselves in uncomfortable situations. And by actually understanding behavior change and embracing a holistic approach, you can actually break free from the cycle of yo-yo diets and feeling like you're never good enough, or you just never stick to anything, or you're always failing. The norm is not to change. That's the norm. We are fighting against what is normal in our society. So you have to fight against whatever the norm is. And when you start to get excited, when you start to see the results and again, like feel them and like, and actually have a maintain, like a sustainable approach, you're going to want to bring everyone with you. You are. That's how we change the norm. We lead by example. But then also it's like, we're not shaming other people. We're not telling other people that they're just not successful because they don't care enough. We've learned, again, behavior change. If we truly want to be different, we have to be willing to do different things. You can't just keep doing the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. And yes, that means you can't just try another restrictive diet and hope for something else to change. You can't. I've kind of like, I'm on a high right now, but it's so important to me because I see it so often. I still get on calls with people who aren't willing to change. And it's, again, my savior complex is crying because I want everyone to experience how great it feels to really take care of yourself, how great it feels to have a great relationship with food, how great it feels to be confident in your body and feel, and it doesn't mean that I'm always happy. It doesn't mean that I always feel great about myself. It doesn't mean that I never have bad days. That's not what it means. It means that I have embraced a long-term consistent change because I was tired of feeling tired. I was tired of being sick. I was tired of feeling like shit. I was tired of feeling insecure. I was tired of not being happy with who I was. I was tired of being inconsistent. I was tired of being disappointed in my actions. It's like the whole, your actions speak louder than words. People will say stuff all the time. I want to lose weight. I want to change my body. I want to get out of this relationship. I want to start the business. I want to do these things. It is more normal to have your actions not align with the words that you say. It is more common, more normal for that. It is. How wild is that? When I was like 22 or like 23, I don't know if I heard this somewhere. I don't know how this got in my brain at all. I have no idea. But I just decided one day, I was like, I want to try to be the least hypocritical person possible. Like that was what I said to myself. And that's still how I like live. Does it mean that I'm perfect? No. Yeah, I just said that. But I just try to be the least hypocritical person possible. If I'm unhappy with something, I'm going to try and make a change. I'm going to try. The only thing it hurts is trying. I'm not hurting anybody. I'm trying to just like be a good person. So I hope that this like shifts your perspective. Cause again, I have a feeling if you're listening, you're growth oriented. Learning is growth oriented. Like trying to expand your knowledge and do other things like that, that is being growth oriented. But I hope that this expands your knowledge. And again, like if you feel like someone can benefit from hearing this, like it's a hard thing to hear, but make sure you send it to them. Like that's also just being a caring person. Like whenever I see stuff that reminds me of someone, it's like being on a social media. Like you see something that reminds you of someone and you're like, oh, this made me think of you. If they get offended by it, that's a whole other conversation. But still, it's like, I think that so many people can benefit from this message and this reminder because we have a choice. We do. But also like our society as a whole has done so much to basically go against the grain when it comes to true sustainable behavior change. And we have to advocate to change that, like make change the norm. So with that, as always, I appreciate you guys like crazy. Don't be a dick, especially to yourself. And I'll see you in the next one.